Okay, Kim, so frustration to fascination. We all want to be in fascination because it seems like it's way more fun, but oh, I want to use some swear words, but I won't. What do we do when we're in frustration?
Oh, Jill, that's a really hard one.
I know. The thing is that I think the ultimate goal, and you tell me where your take on this is that we're not asking people to not be frustrated. We're hoping that over time and with practice, we can kind of, I guess, maybe narrow the swing between, oh, I'm so happy over here in fascination. Oh, I'm so depressed over here in frustration or so angry. You know, where we like flow through them, but the highs and lows aren't so high and low or extreme, except for in the cases when they need to be. And right now, I think we're kind of emotionally addicted to the swings and the extremes.
So, one tool, and this is what I get from a collective energy. So your energies are pinging off of this, guiding this. Is laughter. And this is kind of, I think it's funny because what I'm getting is that when you're frustrated with something, so I'll use the example we were talking earlier, and I had some back pain this last weekend. And I am being reminded of the laughter that I put in there. I wasn't trying to laugh, but this is a coping mechanism that I learned as a child as sarcasm. So growing up, it's like my family, whomever in the family, they would do something and then it would actually be kind of mean and then they would laugh. Okay. So that was a behavior that I learned that you can use sarcasm to almost deflect the problem. So this is, we can use the same idea, same concept when we're in pain. So if all of a sudden that you have, you stub your toe and you're just like wanting to say all those words and you're holding back on saying the naughty words, as some people call them. They're really not wordy. They're not naughty. They are a form of expression. That is all. So you stub your toe and you're just like, oh, what I need you to do is stop initially and say, okay, I feel the pain. You could say this in your head and you need to just take a deep breath, because when you hold your breath, you're going to hold on to that emotion that is created in that exact moment. Instead of just being in the pain, the physical pain,
Now, when you say
you.
hold on to it, I'm going to go to the, you're going to store it somewhere in your body,
Yes.
and we're going to say, store it in your left shoulder. No reason, no rhyme, no nothing, no needing to know left, right of body, blah, blah. Just something happens real fast, and we take it and we store it somewhere in our body, left shoulder. And then 10 years from now, your left shoulder hurts, and no one knows why, and you can't find a solution for it. And it turns out it was 10 years ago that you
Stubbed
encountered,
your toe.
stubbed your toe, and stored it in your body.
This is the stuff that we need to change. We need to rewrite that pattern immediately. So you don't realize that just stubbing your toe, actually, you are pinging off of everything else that is happening in that area in that exact moment. So it's not just you stubbed your toe against, I don't even know, like a table. Let's just put it that way. Stub your toe on a table. But in that moment, what else was going around in that field? So was somebody having a conversation over there? Were they actually happy about something? They were excited. Were you alone in the house? Were you smelling something specific? All these little tiny details, your energy is actually feeling everything that's around you in that moment.
Which can be a little overwhelming
You
when
could
you.
be eating a carrot at the time and your body experiences that pain. Your body is going to remember that carrot, that taste of flavor, the smell, everything of that carrot in that exact moment that you had the physical pain. So this is the crazy thing that our bodies are actually fascinating that they can do all this stuff. This is where I say the fascination, because you're like, how did it just create all of this stored stuff that we can just stuff and bury in our body just by stubbing our toe? Like it was a physical thing that happened. Like what the heck? This happens all the time. So what to rewrite the story is in that exact moment when you stub your toe. Yes, you might want to say those words. You'd be like, oh, I need you to just stop and take a deep breath, because that's going to help the energies of these emotions that are coming in that you want to stuff and you want to bury of all the things that are picking up all around you that you're pinging off of, and you want to stop and like breathe and like blow it out. That's, I keep feeling my chest getting like big, and then I want to just blow it out. And you can blow it out very hard. You can blow it out very gentle. They said the first one doesn't matter. It's literally
blow it out. I like that.
Just blow it out. Whether you have to go fast or you have to go slow, it doesn't matter. The initial one. Okay. After that, they said you want to go slower. So your next deep breath in should be slower in and slow. Hold it for a couple seconds and then blow it out slower. Where you get to the point of like 4 seconds in, breathing in 4 seconds, holding it for 4 seconds, and exhaling at least 4 seconds. It said that's what you want to do. So in that moment, you're now actually taking charge of the pain, and you're not letting the pain actually creep in, but you're acknowledging the pain and you understand it. But then you're also, with this breath work, you're changing it from storing it to just experiencing it, just being in the moment and be like, yes, I feel the pain. Thank you for allowing me to feel the pain. And then you breathe. It actually diminishes any sort of emotional other energies that was going around in that room or that you were even thinking of at that moment. It diminishes it, so you don't store it. So 10 years later, you're not going to be like, why is my toe still hurting?
So, or why does my left shoulder oddly hurt 10 years later?
Yeah. Yep. So when you take that moment and you're acknowledging it, you're not running away from the pain. The pain is real. The pain is...
Are you saying frustration is pain?
Good question. frustration is not pain. Frustration is the learned verbiage that you have taken because you have become frustrated with the fact that you can no longer control pain based off of what we've been taught. And it's the frustration of the stored emotions that you're dealing with.
And so maybe like also frustration of not being able to, maybe it's not even pain.
Right.
So the toe thing is pain.
Correct.
But then when we're just like, say, doing daily work.
Yes.
And something happens and things aren't flowing.
Right.
We're not necessarily experiencing pain, but frustration starts to tick up.
Yes.
It's like that there's discomfort.
Yep. Yep. And any sort of, it's the same thing with when you mention the word discomfort, I get pulled into all these, like you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, or somebody's driving 40 in a 55. And that sometimes people are like, oh my God, it's so painful just driving 40 in a 55. And then you get frustrated. Okay. So
yeah.
The concept of pain and frustration have been changed over time.
Yeah.
The frustration is that you had an idea. You had I wanted to get from point A to point B. Okay. And it didn't happen in the way you wanted it to happen.
Right.
There was outside circumstances that came in. So you got frustrated with that. And over time, you then learn, well, isn't that painful that you had to sit and wait for so long? So then you're like, oh, that is painful. So now you have to associate it with pain, and there's emotional pain, there's physical pain, there's mental pain, like all these, any sort of pain, you've now put in the word frustration with it. But they're two different things, completely two different things.
Isn't that wild? Because I do believe that frustration actually filters through in a lot of ways as a pain experience.
Yeah.
And yet here's you and I going, frustration to fascination. People are like, what?
No. the fascination is how fast we take that physical pain and we put it into a frustration. We lock it in. That's the fascinating part. Like, how the heck did we just do that without
so
even thinking?
Fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's your nervous system going into that, almost like a fight flight freeze, but almost like the signal that it went from your toe, saying you stubbed your toe, and that signal that it went through your whole entire body, your meridian lines, your nerves, it goes all the way up to your brain to tell your brain how it needs to respond. So as it's going through all your physical layers, okay, so it has to go through your blood, it has to go, okay, no, not the blood, Kim.
Yeah.
But they're going through all of the nutrition throughout your whole entire system. What is feeding your nerve endings, okay, all the nutrition. So if there's a lack of nutrition going to those nerve endings, there is a signal that gets a little disrupted. Okay. This is fascinating to me. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, because I'm lacking a little bit of B vitamins, that can alter that nerve signal that's going from that toe all the way up to your brain. But it's not telling the brain when it comes up there, it's literally going with the first ping as to the toe. But along the pathway, there's been some confusion that happens. That to me is kind of fascinating in and of itself, but it's also, that's where they said you're getting the frustration. It's not just the pain. Now you're getting frustrated that all these things along the pathways, along your nerve endings, were disrupted. It wasn't a clear signal that got sent.
Right. Things are so fast. So yes. Also many things are kind of convoluted. So it's not this clear message of stub toe pain.
Right.
From the toe to the brain. And the brain is like peacefully going, oh, okay, there's pain there. It's like in between the, oh, okay, there's pain there. There was all sorts of like.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know how else to say it. It's like confusion. It's like static. It's like.
It's frustrating.
Yep. It's very frustrating.
And because along the way, you're also connecting with all these emotions that are also stored in the body. So all of those are in your digestive tract, in your liver, your heart, your lungs. You're like. Everywhere in your entire body, like it's pinging off of all them too and going around to the brain.
Okay, so it keeps coming to me in a free course that we offer. We have a lesson that talks about being responsible for 16.67%, which is 1/6.
Yes.
And it's like, here's what I'll throw out there. It's like we've convinced ourselves that we're 100% responsible. And since I pinged my toe, stubbed my toe, I should say. And I stubbed my toe and somehow I have this program running in me going, I have to be 100% responsible for everything that's going on from my toe to my brain.
Right.
And we're not conscious of this. We're not thinking this through, but we're trying to like control it and hold on to it. And so, and it's like, you know what? It's enough to say what we know, even if what we know is that we're frustrated.
Yep.
And I think we're getting like habitually, we try and get too far involved in these experiences. So frustration starts to bubble up. And instead of us just going either pain and or frustration or the two together, because they start to bubble up and it's like something automatically kicks in where we're trying to like figure it out, sort it out, fix it, solve it. And we can't. And then that starts also pinging off of more emotional stored stuff. And then it becomes, quite honestly, it becomes a shit show real fast.
It does. So your stubbed toe has now led into, I can't go here because my toe hurts. I can't do this. So then you get more frustrated that you can't do something. In reality, your stubbed toe is probably telling you, you need to slow down. You need to just take a break. Like, you need to sit. Like, we're trying to protect you. So it's kind of like an odd thing that can occur, not all the time, is that when your body's trying to tell you something and you are not listening, so that shoulder that's been hurting for so long and you are not taking time just to breathe with it. You're not taking time to deal with the emotional stored baggage that you threw into that shoulder. Okay. So now it's like, we're going to make you sit down because you're not going to do it on your own. Obviously, your body's actually looking for help constantly. Here's the other. Oh, okay. So when you ask for help, we've talked about this in a lot of our other talks. Ask. All you got to do is ask. So when you sit there and you ask for advice, you ask for information to be brought to you, and all of a sudden you stub your toe. You're like, this is not what I freaking asked for. Are you kidding me? Like, I asked for clarity. They're like, here's your sign. I'm going to stab your toe. But it's forcing you to get to the root cause. But people want to bury that even more. Like,
well, we just had a live class about this with judgment and judgment and becoming aware of our judgments on things. I think judgment can imprison us. Oof. And does imprison us.
Yep.
And being aware of our judgments sets us free. And that sounds like ridiculously simple, but it is. It does work.
Yep.
And in a moment of extreme frustration or extreme pain, it is very, very challenging to drop our judgment. Usually we have kicked into some really rapid judgments and we're already storing them. Like this, where you say you're fascinated by it. We're storing things in our body. We're organizing stuff in our thought process. We're making plans for the future of how we're going to deal with this. Like all this stuff is happening
without even,
without us really even, it's so fast. But I believe really the catalyst for it is, okay, walking along, stub my toe. Not at all what I wanted. Nothing. You're saying,
take a deep breath,
take a deep breath, and that there's, it's happened for a reason.
Yep.
To slow us down or whatever it might be. But if I judge it, I miss the message.
Correct.
I go, I, it's like I push my whole experience into a completely different trajectory once I judge it. So,
so when you're being, so just being, you're acknowledging it. You're not saying the pain is not real. And you're like, you're acknowledging whatever feelings that are coming up with it. And you're, what I, they're going back to taking this deep breath. Once you take three deep breaths and you say like, yep, I feel that. Thank you. You take literally 1 minute of your time. That's not a whole lot. You got a lot of time left in the world. So you can honor 1 minute of your time just to be with it and thank it. Thank you for showing me. Thank you for guiding me. You can say, continue to show me my path. Instead of saying like, this is not what I asked for. The other thing, they're going back to the laughter, the laughter. You need to start laughing about it and like almost say, you're like, this is pretty funny. Like, yep, whatever this is.
Okay. So absolutely. I think this is really wise information and useful. Yet I'm going to put it into a framework of something that happened to me recently that I told you about recently, where I had a moment that was so difficult. Okay. And it was like, I don't know, what would you call it? Almost like a meltdown.
Yeah.
Okay. Like stubbed my toe. I didn't, but let's stick with that. Yes. Like I stubbed my toe and it pinged so many other things in me that there was physical, mental, emotional, all sorts of stuff going on. Now to stop in that moment and laugh, breathe and ask questions.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's going to make you frustrated, huh?
Correct. So that's what I'm saying. Like, and here's what I want to say is like, there was nothing wrong with me that in that moment, I couldn't like peacefully take a breath.
Right.
Quite honestly, being aware of even the challenges was enough to shift me into something else. And being aware that I can't even like breathing three breaths. Honestly, Kim, I was like so spiraling off in that moment. I made it through part of a breath and I got distracted again. And then I tried again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, I'm pointing this out because I want to share with people.
It takes that, practice.
Right? And in having to, see, to me, I'd say what happened is in that moment, my stubbed toe and my frustration was so fast and so big and so avoidance to feeling whatever was going on, that I was like pretty much in very unconsciously willing to do anything and everything other than to stop and literally be with what was going on in that moment.
Yeah. And that's what fear does.
Mm-hmm. But I found it very frightening to be there.
Yep.
I found it very, oh my God, like, yeah. Like if I would have laughed in that moment, I think I would have felt insane. But you know what? The laughter would have broke up the energy as well.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And the laughter you start with, ha.
Yeah. You don't have to go, ah.
No, you start with ha. And then you do ha, ha. And then you're like, ha, ha, ha. And then you start like playing with that ha. And then you get to the point where now you're just laughing because you sound stupid, you know, but you're not being stupid. You're actually just changed the vibration and you're not then holding on.
Right. And see, I think what I was picking up on in laughter is it's, I've seen people laugh. It's a denial laugh.
Yes.
It's to go around or over or whatever to not dive into the experience. You're actually saying get into the experience.
Yes. And so this is where the laughter, what I've been say trained to laugh with sarcasm, and you laugh off the tub stove, you walk it off, you know, it's like, okay, yes, I was trained that, which in reality, that is a very appropriate thing when you use it the correct way.
Just like everything.
Yes.
Breath when used correctly.
Yeah.
is powerful.
Yep. So all these tools that we've been getting that we can be viewed as a negative thing is actually your body's trying to get you to see it. But we, because of society, you put a specific twist on it, a turn.
It's judgments.
Yes.
It's trainings. That's culture. That's family.
Yep.
There's lots of ways that this happens. But the thing is that frustration and pain are pointers for us.
Yes.
That we're, what would you say, maybe out of alignment with our, what we truly want, not what we've been trained or told right. or programmed to want in that moment.
Yep.
And there are ways, thank goodness, to learn this without as much intensity of pain or intensity of frustration.
Right.
But it gets more intense when we judge it.
Yep. Yep. There are people who have gone through very painful experiences, and I'm going to go to the extreme of seeing somebody who was literally burned. Okay. That is probably the most painful physical experience that anybody can actually go through. And they acknowledge the pain. They do. They don't deny it. You know, there's pain medications for that specific reason. Okay.
Right.
But then when you talk with some of these ones, the ones who carry the emotional burden of it, or there's a judgment associated with that burning, that experience, their pain is dramatically worse than the other person who's just like, yep, that was a physical thing that happened. And guess what? I'm going to take this pain and I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to be like, okay, don't touch the hot stove again.
Right.
You know,
right.
Mentally, they're able to get into a spot where they're like, okay, I'm here and I'm present and this is where I'm at right now. And their pain is dramatically decreased.
Mm-hmm.
Still there, but they are in control of it, not it controlling them.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of work to get to that point mentally, but when your body has, oh, here's the other thing.
Does it take a lot of practice?
Practice.
It takes a lot of practice, right?
And you have to realize everything that you need in that moment is going to be in that safe place. Even though you may not view it as safe, it is there for a reason. That experience happened, that tub stow happened in that
stubbed toe.
Yeah, there we go.
You said it earlier and I was laughing. I almost cut it and I was laughing. I was like, I love it.
In that moment, everything that's in that space is exactly what you need.
Right.
So, honestly,
which is a beautiful concept and a very difficult one to embrace when you're in pain or frustration or having an experience that, say, is the exact opposite of what you were planning. Like you said, driving. Yeah. I'm going to have this drive. I'm going to run across town real quick to get to the post office. And it should take 4 minutes.
I can get my tape there that they're going to have.
You're right. Right? And it turns out to be 40 minutes and all this stuff. It's frustrating, right?
Yes.
And there's just, it really is fascinating how much information.
And you almost let go of the judgment that happened.
When you let go of the judgment, it's not frustrating, really. It's fascinating. When you let go of the judgment, while there still might be pain, like you said, the pain goes on a scale of 1 to 100. It can drop very quickly from an 85 to a 12 by removing that judgment.
And
it's incredibly powerful.
When you think of, so when you're holding your breath, so you're trying to get through town and you start getting like frustrated,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting angry. And your shoulders actually start getting more tense,
mm-hmm.
and they start pulling up because the muscles start getting tense because you are not breathing into those muscles so they can relax. Okay. So as you're getting there and all of a sudden, by the time you get out of there, you get home, your shoulders have been so tight and tensed up from just that tiny experience of just going across town to the post office. Took you a lot longer. Okay. That was just one experience in your 24-hour day.
Right. You do that all day long.
Yeah.
Okay. So that trip to the post office that the expectation was in mind was that it's going to be easy. It turned out to be very frustrating, even painful.
Yep.
Like you said, one of those in a day. Then you take that times a day, times a week, times months, years, decades. Yep. You're storing this stuff in your body. And then...
And then people want to know, why do I not feel good?
Why don't I feel good? Exactly. And I call, one of the things I call the shoelace principle. And what we did is when, you know, we're little kids, we learn how to tie a shoelace. Yeah. It's quite a process to learn how to tie a shoelace.
Yeah.
Until we get it.
Yeah.
And once we get it, we store it in our subconscious so yeah. that we don't have to revisit step by step by step again. We do the shoelace principle with these frustrating and painful moments.
Yep.
We don't, we store them, but we weren't necessarily supposed to store the frustration and the pain.
No.
We were supposed to store the information, the helpful information, i.e. how to tie a shoe
yeah.
without having to relearn all of the steps over and over and over again. And instead we've stored the emotions and the discomfort or the pain
yeah.
or the, when I stubbed my toe, you know, whatever, I was having, say, a disagreement with my husband at the time when I stubbed my toe, which was my feedback to slow down.
Yep.
And instead, I stored in my body, for example, that I'm resentful of him.
Yeah.
See what you made me do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 3 weeks later, that comes out in some big argument or fight or something along those lines. It's just fascinating to me, though, that we take that shoelace principle that was supposed to really be helpful. And we literally self-harm from it instead.
Yep. And no one made you feel any of those emotions.
No. And we can self-heal
yep.
all of those. We just need to engage certain tools and practice them so that those tools become more prevalent than storing or than right. judging or storing.
Yep. And the more you practice them, the faster they come. They become your subconscious and it just is.
Right.
You don't even have to think about it anymore. It just like happens and you're like, whoa, I just had this. I just, you know, stubbed my toe again. And yeah, the pain's there, but I'm not reacting. I'm not frustrated with this. It's just like, huh, okay. What do I need to fix my toe? Okay. Needs a Band-Aid. Oh, throw some salve on it. Whatever. Like, I'm good.
So feeling, true feeling, real feeling. Okay. To me, it's such a convoluted word. There's so much confusion on it. I think it's like tying a shoe.
Yeah. I like that analogy.
Feeling, true feeling is like tying a shoe.
Yep.
Once you know how to do it, once you have it laid out, it's like so useful and simple and powerful for the rest of your life.
Yep. But it doesn't control you. You are in control of it. And
it's helpful.
Yes.
It's very helpful to tie a shoe. I mean, I don't know how many people tie a shoe anymore, but you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. that can open up a whole nother can of worms, mm-hmm. too. But, exactly. It's something that you know how to do it. I mean, you can put that into any aspect of life, put it on a shirt. You know,
right.
People wear glasses. It's like,
yes, we learn all sorts. Most of us learn all sorts of skills all throughout life.
Yeah.
Some of them are helpful and some of them aren't. And as far as.
So why can't we do that the same with this? Like the pain, the frustration, the emotions. Like you learn how to do this. Like, and it's easy to throw on a shirt now. And initially you're just like, where do my arms go? Like, you want this over my head? Like, huh? To also now it's just. A no-brainer.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Okay. I was at a park the other day and there's a little girl. How old was she? I'm going to guess she's seven, eight. Okay. And she is trying something. She's just packed full of energy. Okay. And she's trying something that she wants to do. Someone had a skateboard or something.
Okay. Yeah.
All the adults that were involved in what she wanted to do. And she got very, very frustrated. Because she wasn't able to do her creative learning process. They had their reasons, which I understand. But I was watching this little girl. I wasn't watching her closely. I just was waiting for someone and she was there and she kept coming into my view, you know? And all of a sudden I saw her. She just got so frustrated. Like, and it caught my attention because her energy was really powerful. Like this 7-year-old girl just like so frustrated. And what was interesting to me is her dad did not address at all frustration with her. Not at all, you know, but he stayed with her and just saw her. She did her thing, and the frustration went through her and dissipated really fast. And all of a sudden, she just came back and,
yes,
she was herself again.
Yep.
You know, she hasn't picked up the skill yet, the non-helpful skill
right.
of taking frustration like that, storing it,
yeah.
and then having it show up later on in life.
Yes.
It was really, talk about fascinating, because I watched her
yes.
shift very fast. And it wasn't like she was trying. It wasn't nothing. Quite honestly, unlike yeah. tying a shoe, which we have to be trained to,
yeah.
I believe with like frustration, we have innately the skill to have it flow and move through us.
Yeah.
And then we train ourselves out of it.
Yes.
So it's very different, actually, weirdly, than because we don't come into this world necessarily having
right.
shoe skills, tying skills.
And I want to applaud that dad, holy crap, for not getting into her frustration, which a lot of us do
yeah.
in the world.
Yeah, it's he didn't like, react to her. He didn't nothing. He literally held
her space.
She frustrated, and then it dissipated.
Yeah.
And then they like grabbed hands and went off and did the next thing that they, whatever it was that they were doing. It was
yeah.
really very beautiful.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how it's supposed to be in this world.
Yeah. And that was, so the experience I referenced earlier that was so difficult for
yeah.
me was like the day before. And then the next day I saw that.
Yeah.
And that's
the message. When you ask.
Right. Ask. And then to compare those two and go, wow, I want to move frustration like that little girl did.
Yep.
That's like real wisdom, cool, deep wisdom, whatever. It really was, though. Isn't that just being?
It is. Yep.
Being, but letting it move.
Correct.
I think
you're not staying stuck in it and keeping yourself frustrated. It's more like, okay, I'm frustrated in the moment because it didn't go in the way that I had intended it to go. And so
it didn't go the way she wanted it to go.
Right. So she could have stayed in that frustration and she could have continued to fall over and blah, 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 and then get frustrated and like almost say, I'm going to pick up on the skateboard and throw it down and say, I'm done. I'm not doing this no more. And then over time, she creates this story in her past saying, I couldn't do skateboarding. Like it was just not good for me. Blah, blah, blah. She created a story based off frustration. Where here now she can create a different story. Based off of like, yeah, I was frustrated in the moment.
Yeah.
But I move forward.
Right.
I had to change my perception. I had to change what I was doing because what I was doing, my body was trying to tell me, that doesn't work that way.
Right.
For you, it doesn't work in that way.
Now, here's the thing, Kim. Her dad didn't judge or agree with her feelings. He
yeah.
just held space for it, right?
Yeah.
If he would have judged it, like you said.
Yep.
And... oh, kid's frustrated. Now I'm frustrated. It yep. just gets so like big.
Yep. Or what if he would say like, hey, you know what? Maybe you need to do it this way. Maybe you need to do it that way. And also now his ideas, his creativity, his perception of how she should do it starts playing out on her. And it may not work at all for her.
Right.
She can stay in that state of frustration and be like, well, my dad told me to do it this way. My dad said this. And this is where now she doesn't realize at this time, but at that moment, if that were to happen,
yeah,
say dad were to judge her
right.
or push his beliefs on how she should skateboard, okay, and then it doesn't work, she's going to blame him. This is what we've been taught to in society is to blame him
yeah.
on her continued failure.
And quite honestly, you know, as my complete outsider observing something
yeah.
that I wasn't even trying to observe and then just kept like showing up
yeah.
in my perception, my vision that day was that her process, the girl's process with this skateboard was very creative. She learned from it. She didn't succeed in that moment, but she learned.
Yeah.
But before, you know, she doesn't have those skills yet. So
right.
she hit frustration. Dad held the space, frustration went away. And the next time that girl has the opportunity to do something with a skateboard, she has
yep.
more knowledge, more data, more information.
Yep. This is what creates empowerment
mm-hmm.
on earth. So just imagine if we had how many parents like him who, you know, that he just did not know how to do that. That's a learned behavior that he has seen throughout his lifetime.
Right.
So he's doing the same thing for his child.
Right.
And so, I mean, imagine how many parents, if they started that with childhood,
right,
we can literally change the world just right. by that.
So that's, we can also so
simple,
right? So simple. So we could also, I would say, take that idea and self-parent ourselves.
Yeah.
Into these skills to just kind of, so if I go back to that very difficult experience that I was having.
Yep.
This, you talked about our minds too, right? Yeah. To be able to self-parent, self-talk, which is what self-parenting in a way is, right?
Yep.
Is a self-talk, to talk yourself through that. You're not judging the experience.
Right.
Being with it, holding space, like we said.
Yeah.
I think part of why that experience got so, so challenging for me is because there was resistance to it, which is judgment, stopping it. I don't want this. I don't like this. And the more I did that, the bigger it got.
Yep.
So like if the dad would have done that to the little girl, like you said, she probably would have had a meltdown.
Yep.
And kind of, you know, even on to the point of tantrum, which is the, in a way what I did.
Yep.
I started, had this experience. I judged it. I said, it has to go a certain way. I tried to control it or make it be something out of programming. This all happened so very fast. But just, you know, that I love the ha. Ha, ha.
Yep. Ha, you're real funny. Ha. Oh, ha. This is really happening. Ha, ha, ha.
Even in... which is a bit of a confuser. It confuses you. And the dad actually could have done that to the little girl and not to control her or anything, but to confuse her a little bit, to get her out of, if she was starting to say, judge herself and starting to like trap herself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating stuff, Kim.
Yep. And when you're doing that, you're also using your lungs also. Lungs store grief, sorrow, loss. So anytime there's a change, doesn't matter how small, how little, anything like that, if something changes in your life, we go through the grieving process just like that. So you can get stuck in the grieving process, or you can allow it to flow, which is through breath work.
Okay. So now we're talking about moving emotions. Is that correct?
The frustration piece.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you don't take a deep breath when you're frustrated, that emotion of frustration can stay stuck within you.
Right.
But... yes.
Yeah. I just bring that up because again, I was so confused for so many years because people be feelings, emotions. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, honestly, I studied it for years to like, what's the difference? Yeah. It depends upon whose framework you're looking at it through. Cause it just, they get mixed, they get shifted, you know,
they do.
But anyway, the point is, is it keeping it fascinating, keeping it light, letting it move, allowing it to continually move, whether it's a feeling or an emotion, call it what you want.
Right.
Be with it, observe it, give space to it.
Yep.
Identify it if you can. If you can't identify grief in that moment, you can just say, I just don't like this.
Correct. Yep. Yep. There was a... I had a girl in here recently, teenage girl, and she feels everything around people. This kind of goes along this lines of being frustrated because she goes to school or she'll go to a restaurant, anywhere there's a large crowd. And I'm guessing a lot of you listening to this are going to relate to this. She'll go in and she'll also just feel everybody's stuff, or she'll be overwhelmed. She said that it feels like a black cloud kind of comes over her. And she gets like pulled in. And what she was showing me is almost like she looks like she goes into the fetal position. When you do that, you're trying to pull into a safety, security mechanism. But she's also clamming and closing off her lungs. So she can't actually take a deep breath in that moment either. So you're like, how do you do that when you have this big cloud coming over you right away? And it's so intense where you don't even have the moment. Your initial response is to literally cloud in like a fetal position. You're pulling your chest cavity in and you're protecting yourself. I was like, wow, like very quick.
Yeah.
So you're not even thinking like, oh, brain, I need to stop. No, she went right into fight, flight, and freeze. Like, I need to go into the safety mechanism. So what came up for her, and this is not everybody, but it's more like she didn't have to feel more. Okay. Her job was to just say, I acknowledge the feeling. I don't need to feel more. I acknowledge it's here. I acknowledge that there's a feeling that I'm recognizing. they're changing the word on this. You're talking about feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So they're going, I recognize the emotions that are here. So the emotions are coming at her. She creates her own feelings. Interesting. Uh-huh. Okay. So as she's in that moment, she's recognizing it. And she can't take a deep breath because she's still pulled in. So all she had to do was thank it. Thank you for showing themselves. Thank you. Because what she is doing, and I know a lot of you listening, is you are a person that's meant to help other people. You're a person that's meant to say, almost like be an angel. I'm going to call it that way. And maybe that person is just having a really bad day. Maybe they are the person that's feeling so frustrated in life that they just spent 40 minutes trying to get to the post office, and they're in that part where they're like, my life sucks. Okay. You're a person who gets to just, you recognize it, and I need you to just stop and say, thank you for allowing me to recognize that. How can I support that person today? How can I do that? So this is where you have to get in your head and you start asking questions instead of being that person like, I'm going to laugh, because you can't laugh in that moment. You can't take a deep breath in that moment. But what you can do is you can still ask and be like, how can I support that person?
And exactly. So there are, you know, different circumstances, different tools that would be needed.
Yep.
And although I will say, I believe one of an early skill that's probably useful in just about any circumstance, but if you even do a little self-talk when something starts coming up, to start saying, I'm safe.
Yep. Yep.
Because otherwise we kick into that inability to breathe. Like you said, in that shoulders forward, and that it could trigger trauma. It could all sorts of things. But again, that self-parenting, which is self-talk.
Yep. If you know that you're going to be walking into a place where there's a potential where you could feel other people, you're not in your safe zone as your home or your room or wherever
your safest zone maybe.
Yes. If also you're going into a restaurant and you know that this has happened before, you got to rewrite the story instantly.
Yeah.
Like you're saying. So before you even walk in, saying, I am safe. I am protected. I am guided. I am. Those I am statements.
Yes. I think there's also, now that we're diving into this, I think there's also even possibly a step before I'm safe.
Yeah.
Which is before, say, you go into the restaurant, like you said, to ask for things to slow down.
Yes.
So that it's at a pace that I can handle.
Yeah.
And you're not asking other people. You're literally like, you know, in your own
bubble. Yep.
Own bubble. Slow down. It's safe in here at this pace for me. Okay.
Yep.
You know? And so if I were in a car, if you and I were going to a restaurant and I did this and I needed a moment, I might have to say to you, Kim, I'll meet you in there. Give me a moment.
Perfect.
We've been trained out of that though.
Right. And I've been trained in the past. I would have literally like, well, what's wrong? What can I do for you? And like almost like overly step the boundaries and get into your space. And I want to fix it.
Right. Now just be with that. Okay.
Yep.
Not trying to manipulate someone, not trying to change it, not trying to fix it. Now there are places where there's need for fix or whatever.
Right.
But we've gotten so overly into the fixing.
Yeah. Yes.
We need to balance that out with some.
And if a person, if you were to say, Kim, like, you know what? I just need a moment. I need to sit here. Perfect. And I can ask, do you need me to stay here? Or are you okay if I go in? So I'm not judging you at all. I'm also giving my chance to I'm okay with either one. I'm not going to judge if I have to sit here or if I have to go inside. Okay. So there's no, I'm not attaching any emotions onto this, and I'm just going to hold space for you. What do you need for your space? This is what I need for my space. If I were to say, hey, like, cool, I'm going to go inside. That's what I need for my space. So I'm going to honor myself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to ask me, Kim, can you just please sit here with me?
Right.
And if in my mind, say, I don't know, Okay. Oh, this can go on and on and on, because then they're like, okay, you have the scenario where you have the friends that are standing at the door, like, come on, we need, the table's here, the table's here. And then you're just like, Kim, can you sit with me? And I'm torn because I'm like, where do I go? Mm-hmm. I want to please these people over here. I want to please you. And then I start getting frustrated within myself because I'm like, well, what do I believe in? I believe I want to help people. Okay, what do I do? So then, honestly, I would be like, okay, in my head, I'm going to stop and I'm going to take a deep breath. And I'm like, okay, what is the most appropriate here? Mm-hmm. Those people over there that are trying to say, let's get in here, let's get a table. That's not going to change how fast we're going to get served. It may, but in reality, time really doesn't exist when it comes to energy. So I'm going to be like, yes, I will sit here. But some people can't do that.
Right.
They can't make that discernment.
Yeah. I love the word of what's most appropriate.
Yes.
The word appropriate. What's most appropriate here? That would be a really good one. What's most appropriate here? Like even on that meltdown moment that I had,
yeah.
If I would have asked, what's most appropriate here?
You know what? It
would have been really interesting if I could go back in time.
Anybody that's listening to this, mm-hmm. Okay, send us some of your experiences or incidences, however you want to define them, as to times where you felt like you could not get past it. Tell us your experiences. Maybe we can like dive into those and maybe it was where you were sitting in a restaurant with that experience. Mm-hmm. And how do you get through that? I would love to hear other people's experiences.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And until then, certain tools.
Yeah.
Breathing, laughing. I love the laughing.
Ha.
Ha. Ha. Ha.
See, it makes you laugh.
This makes you laugh.
Yep.
Call a friend and say, I need to laugh right now. Yeah. Ha. I guess, you know, breathing, like, again, that day, I remember having a hard time breathing, but you know what I didn't do? This would be very interesting, is even just move your shoulders back to open
the chest.
Then breathe.
Yep.
I bet you anything I was
going in.
Mm-hmm. It was a protective thing.
Yep.
Right? Because I didn't what was going on. Something was, I wasn't conscious about this.
Oh, but right.
My chest was collapsed, I bet you, which is why I couldn't breathe.
So roll the shoulders back. If you have to, stand against the wall and push your shoulders back into the wall. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to do that.
And be patient with yourself to try different things. That is actually, although on the surface at the time when I looked at it, I felt like I failed coming out of that difficult moment. I didn't fail because I kept trying different things.
Yeah. You didn't stay in the same habits.
I just didn't want to spiral. Exactly. Yeah. Those habits would have spiraled me down farther and farther. And wherever I was deep enough. And I didn't like that. I shouldn't want to go any farther. And so I just kept trying different things.
Yep.
And now we've just generated even more things that I know that I have like in my toolbox. The next time something happens.
Yes.
Like, ooh, try this. Ooh. You know, and sometimes you'll be calm. Sometimes you won't. Yeah. But you give it a good shot. One thing, it won't be a failure.
No.
Because you'll have some level of success. You just stay out of judging.
Yep. Because they have you here.
Yes.
They're going to give you another one, another tool. Okay. This one is an odd one. I don't know if I've heard of this one personally in my personal life, but they're showing me covering up one of your eyes.
Oh.
Like you cover up one of your eyes and start looking, and then you just look around and then cover up the other eye. They said it changes perceptions, viewpoints.
Nice.
Even though you have no idea that it's really doing that, you're looking at the exact same thing, but in your mind it confuses your mind because it's changing a different viewpoint using different nerves.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that.
So something that you can't change it, you're always going to, it's going to look the same, but you can change how your body's perceiving it.
Cool.
How your mind.
Nice.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Therefore.
All right.
Okay.
Send us your stories.
Thank you.
Bye.